I love words that hold a lot of meanings. Like for us, for Christians, the word Trinity, we hear that word Trinity and we don't just hear the word, but we understand the meaning that that word has with it. And it explains this complex thing, but we know what that meaning is. Trinity captures it all. And sometimes we think that some of the bigger words are just reserved for some academic scholars. And then for many of us, that's how I grew up, is we dismiss any kind of big words and don't try to remember them or don't try to say them or just shrug when we hear them and go, oh, that's just man's wisdom and that kind of a silliness. But it's wrong to do that because words carry with them so much meaning so often. And this morning, a word that I want to bring up and that you have heard before is one of those words. And for Christians, it is a very important word for us to know, and that's imputation. Imputation. What imputation means is charging or attributing something to another person's account. So let's say I'm having a garage sale, and you find out that I have this great collection of CDs, heavy metal CDs. And you find out I have this collection, and you call me up and say, Edgar, I want the whole collection. I'll be down in a couple of hours. Put it aside for me. I want it. That's mine. I'm committed to it. And so I put the whole collection aside with a sign on it that has your name on it. Carol Ginter. These CDs belong to Carol Ginter. They're attributed to you, right? They're attributed to you. The Bible uses the meaning of impute in two ways. When talking about all of us being sinners and when talking about our righteousness in Christ. So the first one, having to do with sin. Romans 5 verses 12 to 19 talks about people being imputed with sin. Sin being imputed to all people. So ever since Adam in the Garden of Eden, everyone has inherited the guilt of sin. So this is what Romans 5 says. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. By the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. So Adam represented all humanity. He rejected God's command about that piece of fruit. Adam thought he knew better than God and therefore didn't have to obey God. And as a result, sin entered the world, and that sin has been imputed to all people. Through that one man, Adam, his disobedience, his offense, brought condemnation and the reign of sin and death on all of us, on everyone. We are all born sinners. That's why we sin. Why are people so bad? Because we're born sinners. So that's the bad news of the good news. If you're going to have good news, there's a reason we call it good, because there's bad news that came before it. So that's the bad news. Adam's sin has been imputed to every person. We are born sinners. That's also the bad imputation. Here's the good news, the good imputation. Jesus Christ was a real man in a real point of history, in a real historical region, under a real historical government. He lived, he died, but he rose from the dead with a bunch of skeptics seeing him, as well as over 500 people at one time. He is alive and ascended into heaven, proving that every single thing that he said while he was on earth was true, that he is God the Son, and that he came to die in order to save people from their sin. All of what he said is true. And so if you believe sin has been imputed to you and you're born a sinner and lived for sin, you know that you are in trouble with the holy God. But if you put your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his death atones you to God. You are brought into a father-child relationship, united with God. You are justified. Jesus received God's wrathful punishment that you deserved, and you receive forgiveness of your sin. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, everyone, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The punishment that you were to get upon your death because of your sin has been accredited, has been put on to Jesus, accredited to Jesus on the cross, imputed to Jesus. When he saved you, gave you the gift of salvation and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, your deserved penalty, the wrath of God that you deserve, was accredited and taken care of by Jesus Christ on the cross. And because of that, not because you're nice, because you're not, because of that, you no longer have sin blocking your relationship to God. You no longer are a slave to sin or a child of wrath or following the evil spirit of this age. Sin is removed as far as east is from the west. God casts your sin behind his back. He casts your sin into the depths of the sea, and he promises never to remember your sin again. They are gone. They are dealt with. No more condemnation for you from the holy God. Confess your sins. Repent. Place your faith and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be born again into a loving father-child relationship with God. That is salvation. All of it a gift from God. None of it born from the effort of human will or the flesh. But the good news is richer and greater than we think. Not only are your sins removed and you're forgiven, you're declared righteous before the holy God. Before you were all about sin and fell short of the glory of God, now you are declared pure and holy as you stand before the holy God. Well, how does that work? You know you're not free of sin. I know I'm not free of sin. I know a whole bunch of you are not free of sin because I see your sin, you see my sin. We're not holy. So how does that work? How am I holy before this holy God? Because your sin has been imputed to Christ, and Christ's righteousness is imputed to you. You are credited with the righteousness of Jesus. Get that. It's not that you maintain your salvation right now because you're such a good Christian. I'm such a good Christian. Of course I'm staying saved because I'm so nice. Not a chance. You are credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the perfect, holy, sin-free life that God requires of us to live. Be holy as I am holy, 1 Peter 1, verse 16. You never lived, but Jesus did. And upon salvation, his holy, pure life is accredited to you. You are righteous. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Because of him, God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus became our wisdom, our sanctification, our redemption, and our righteousness. We don't have our own righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus loved the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. He completely fulfilled the law of God. He was without sin. And as Romans 5, verse 17 to 18 says, his righteousness covers, clothes us, like clothing, like a big snowmobile suit. We're covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not your righteousness, Jesus' righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for our sake he made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. In Jesus, we become the righteousness of God. You and I are righteous, Christ's righteousness imputed to us. Philippians 3, verse 9, not having a righteousness of their own, okay, not having a righteousness of their own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. No righteousness on our own, but righteousness which comes from God because of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God made us righteous by placing us in Christ, by accrediting the righteousness of Christ to us. We've got to get that settled. We have got to get that settled. The church in general, big picture, is drifting away from the gospel. You have a social gospel that is pounding its way and overtaking the church, saying that the gospel message is doing good to people. That's what the gospel is. And the Bible says, no, the gospel is Jesus coming and saving sinners from their sin, taking away their sin, and putting on them the righteousness of God. And then those righteous ones, those righteous redeemed saints go out and do the will of the Lord. It is not, I am doing some great work now, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a different gospel and needs to be rejected. John MacArthur explains it, this exchange, very well. He said, on the cross, God treated Jesus as if he had lived our lives with all our sin, so that God could then treat us as if we lived Christ's life of pure holiness. Our iniquitous life was legally charged to him on the cross as if he lived it, so that his righteous life could be accredited to us as if we lived it. God saw Jesus on the cross covered with your sin and punished him. God now sees you covered with the pure righteousness of Jesus. That's exactly the exchange 1 Peter 3, verse 18 declares. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. We are made righteous. We are covered with Jesus' righteousness. You have nothing to be prideful and arrogant about. People who claim to be Christians and are arrogant and rude and put people down and bully them and treat them poorly, they are somehow thinking that they have a righteousness on which they can stand and that their righteousness is their righteousness. Christians should be the most humble people there are, because we stand on nothing of ourselves and everything from beginning to end on Jesus Christ. That's us. Do you still sin? Yes. You and I will struggle with trusting God, believing God, surrendering to God until we die. But we are not on our own in that. God is glorifying himself in us through the Holy Spirit, making us more and more obedient, growing our understanding of who God is from the Bible. He is changing us. Sin is looking less and less attractive. And while all that is going on, your account before the Lord doesn't change. Sin is paid in full by Jesus, and we are completely righteous in Jesus before the Holy God. Fantastic. That is good news. That's better news than your house that you're buying, or the trip you're going to be going on, or retirement, or when you're done your schooling, or going out with your friends, or getting the new iPhone, or getting this and that. That's junk. Before the Holy God, you are declared righteous in Jesus Christ and are safe and secure based on Jesus for eternity in paradise with the Lord. That's us. That's us. And this means we are God's children. You are God's child. It's not like now God treats you as if you were his child. God treats you as his child. As his child. Galatians 4 verse 5 says God redeemed those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Adopted as full members of God's family right alongside the apostles and the prophets. I'm God's child as much as Elijah, as much as the apostle Paul. I'm right beside him because it's based on Jesus, not on the Apostle Paul. Have you ever thought of that? I thought of that just this week. I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. This is what the life, death, and resurrection of God the Son, Jesus Christ, has done to you who have repented of your sin and put your faith in God the Son, Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Why do I always say life, death, and resurrection? I say life because there is Christ's righteousness that you are covered with. His perfect life lived is now accredited to you. We are saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what God has done to you, he is capable of doing to anyone. Anyone. The worst of people that you can think of, and those that you dearly, dearly love and are praying for, Christ can save them. The Lord can save them through Christ. He can. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop trusting in the Lord that based on the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, your loved ones can be saved. Based on the work of Jesus Christ, we can live in this world and bring his gospel, which is powerful, into the world. Stop being very careful and sheepish Christians. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who conquered death. Everything he said is true. He conquered death. No one does that. Only God does that. He did that, and we belong to him. And now go into the world and live and bring him into every situation as people who have the Holy Spirit living inside you, righteous before the Lord. As God's children. We're going to sing some more together. So if the band would make its way up.